When we come to church and we face a stale worship, we come to worship and we're not changed. We come to worship, we're not challenged. We come to worship and we don't have an encounter with God. Worship has become liturgy rather than a life-giving experience. Jesus told us that he had come to give us what? Life. And we must encounter him in a certain way that is pleasing to him. We have to find him. We have to reach out. We have to touch him. We have to praise him. Look at this verse today. This is the focal verse of our message. Hebrews 13:15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of his lips, confess his name. The King James Version says, giving thanks to his name. You're worshiping Jesus. One of the greatest things about having a birthday party when you're a kid is to have them sing the birthday song that has your name in it, right? They sing, happy birthday, dear Danny. Happy birthday to you. And it means something because they're singing to you, and a kid, you know, blows out the candle, all that stuff. But that's what happens to God. He's excited when we call out his name. You know what I mean? There is a continuous attitude of worship that Hebrews is talking about. Praise is not to be our prevalent method of worship. There are other things besides singing that involve our worship. You know, acknowledgement of God and who he is in our finances, in our giving, is worship. In our scripture reading is worship. When you read about God, he knows about himself. But when you read about God and you claim those scriptures, he loves it. And the fire at the altar in the Old Testament was to burn what? Continually, because people were to continue to offer sacrifice to God, right? And it was never to go out. And so we have three benefits we're going to look at today of worship. And the first one is, or praising God, the first one is it gets your focus on God. We need praise. We need to be grateful for the good things that we enjoy, right? Oh, man, hit the wrong button. Get praise for the things that we enjoy, right? And then we need to express our gratitude. And then when good things happen, what do we need to do? Say thank you. One of the worst things that happens in our family is just you give your kids something and they say, oh, nothing. They walk away. Oh, that's nice. Thank you, Dad. Right? You ever prompt your kids? Say, thank you, Dad. And they're like, yeah, I was going to say that. You just didn't give me time. Look what it says in the book of James right here. James 1:17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Now listen to the message. I like the way they put this. Every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. There is nothing deceitful in God, nothing two-faced, nothing fickle. Have you ever gotten to the point, and you can be honest, you don't have to raise your hand, be honest with yourself. Have you ever gotten to the point at Christmas time where you're so frustrated with the lack of appreciation, you don't even know what to get this person for Christmas? You ever been to that point? And so you're like, oh, man. But see, every gift from God comes from the Father of lights, and he doesn't base it upon us. He bases it upon his love. My Father has no darkness, right? This is a song of praise. Listen, my Father has no darkness. He has no deceit. He has no ulterior motives. He's pure love, he's pure light, he's pure mercy, he gives me grace, he gives me forgiveness, he gives me love, he gives me every good and perfect gift that I've ever received. Now that there is a worship song. That is, when we look to God and what he's given us, we can't help but praise him. If you're not looking upon God, That's when it's difficult to praise God. Keep your eyes on Him. I read the story once about Grandma's peanut brittle, okay? And so this boy goes in and starts eating Grandma's peanut brittle, right? And she sees him sneaking it all, you know? And then, and she feels kind of good. But then, one day, he takes the peanut brittle to work and shares it with his friends. And all of a sudden, Grandma becomes an instant celebrity, the brittle queen of California. You know what I mean? And that's a compliment. When you share what God has given you, it makes Him feel like you're worshiping Him. God loves it when we acknowledge the good things that He's given us. He likes it even more when we share it with other people. If God has blessed you, you absolutely should share it with other people. We should focus on what God has done for us and how He's forgiven us and how He's changed us and how He sustains us and how we should be grateful to Him. We should praise Him. We should tell our friends about Him. That's what praise is. We praise God. So, you ever get down in the dumps? Start thinking about all the things that God has done for you. I've had some woe is me moments this last year. And somebody will say, well, at least you didn't, you know, step in front of a train, right? Well, yeah, well, I don't know. It's, you get kind of down in the dumpy dumps, right? But really, what I need to do is focus on what God has given me and the things that God has done for me. That's worshiping Him. That's praising Him. Secondly, praise increases our understanding of who God is. I think I told you about our friend in El Centro. She's passed away since then. But she always, no matter what was going on, her prayers were full of praise. Now, I may have told you this, I may not have. Jane Fish was a lady probably in her 70s, right, 60s. She used to be a pastor's wife. Pastor had an affair, left her. She never remarried. But she has been the most, every time I think of somebody who praises God in every situation, it's Jane Fish. And she would start the prayer with, "We thank thee, O Lord, that the weather is not always," even on a hot day, she'd say, I thank Lord, I'm thankful that the weather is not always as hot. You know what I mean? It was like, she turned to, like I'm whining about prickly heat, and she's going, saying, oh, I'm so, it's a great thing that this is such a short time in my life, and I feel like this small, right? She said, I'm thankful for the God who can change the weather. You know, Jesus, in the boat, He changes a storm. He stops the storm like that simply because somebody said something. We're tossed around, back and forth, battered by the waves of life. We think that we're going to drown, and yet the Master awakes. He comes and He changes things, and He's able to make a difference in our life. Even when the storms are raging and we feel all this negativity, you know what? Look at 2 Corinthians. Is it up there? Yeah. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound in you, so that all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I am grateful and thankful that God is able to make all grace abound in me or toward me. And that's when that grace overflows. When I realize that He's throwing grace at me, there's not enough of me to hold all the grace that God gives. So it overflows, and hopefully it splashes on the people that are standing next to me, and they get the grace, and then they get the grace, and then they get overflown, overwhelmed by grace, and somebody else gets the grace. You know what that's called? We used to call it revival. Old-fashioned word, but it stands today. God is looking for a revival in our lives that takes place when we give Him our life and when we give Him our daily situations. The next verse, Hebrews 11, 19, is that Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Now, do you know what that means? You know the story. Abraham, God promised that he would father a great nation, but he also promised him a child. And for many years, they didn't have a child, and they began to doubt the fact that God was going to give the child. Yet late in life, God gave them Isaac. And it was a huge celebration, right? And so you can almost say, thank you, God. You can hear Abraham say, thank you, God. You made it possible when I thought it was impossible. The impossible can be done with a God who makes things possible. A child was born to Abraham and Sarah, and they were full of praise. And then you know what happened? God asks Abraham to take the son that he had given him up to the mountaintop, right? And they were going to lay him on the altar and sacrifice him to the Lord. And Abraham was obedient. He was faithful. He did what was asked of him. He took the knife to kill his son. And just as he went to slay Isaac, God said, stop. Provided a ram in the bushes that was caught in the bushes. And he provided a sacrifice. You see, we often miss in this story that Abraham believed that God was able to give them a child at that age, and he believed that he was able to provide a sacrifice in Isaac's place, but he also knew that if God wanted him to sacrifice Isaac, God could bring him back from the dead. So we have to realize those things. So if he'd have killed Isaac, God would bring him back. And we have to understand that too. What does it say? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. The doxology, praise him all creatures here below. Right? Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And that brings us to our third point. Praise helps build your confidence in God. Listen to this song from Moses in Exodus chapter 15. It says, I'm singing my heart out to God. What a victory. He pitched horse and rider into the sea. God is my strength. God is my song. And yes, God is my salvation. This is the kind of God I have. And I'm telling the world that this is the God of my father. I'm spreading the news far and wide. Here's a man who's speaking in confidence. He doesn't say that God might be my strength, or he may be my song, or could be my salvation. He says, is. The confidence in saying is way more than I think it's going to be. You know, if is a factual statement. He is standing right there. She is standing right there. It's going to happen. You know, Moses expressed confidence in God, and he's already seen that God is able to do things like release the people from the bond of slavery. He did it. Look what Joel says in chapter 2. Joel reads, it says like this, you will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be ashamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel. When I am the Lord your God and there is no other, never again will my people be shamed. Jesus said, not that you might or that you may, but you will. Again, with speaking with confidence, Joel is talking, you will. God opens doors that we think are shut to us. God will fix relationships that we think are over. God will mend hearts that we think are broken. That's how God works. He takes our situation and dumps it upside down. We have to have expectations. There was an orphanage in the 1900s in England, and there was a guy by the name of George Mueller, and he was in charge of this, and he took care of as many as 2,000 children. And one day, they had no food. And they had no food left. They had all these children. They sat down for breakfast to an empty plate, silverware, and an empty glass. And then they began to pray like they would. And there were several hundred kids. And he says, Father, we thank thee for thou art going to give us to eat. Not what you gave us, what you're going to give us to eat. And as he ended his prayer, a baker was standing in the doorway and said, I couldn't sleep last night. I felt that I didn't have, I felt like you didn't have any bread. So I made some extra bread. And he got up at 2 o'clock this morning and I baked this bread for you. And so he thanked the baker and he said a prayer of thanksgiving. And well, a few minutes after there was another knock at the door. A milk truck had broken down in front of the orphanage. And milk was provided. It can't go bad. So they gave the milk to the orphanage. So now they had bread and milk. And you see, that's a lesson for us. When we turn it over to the Lord, he has unlimited resources. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And here's the deal. He wants us to use those resources to further his kingdom. So maybe you're the baker. Or you're the milkman. Or maybe you're Mueller. Or maybe you're one of the orphans. I don't know what you are in that story. Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that confess his name. The King James Version says, giving thanks to his name. Therefore, let him continually offer, this is the New King James, sacrifice of praise, that the fruit of our lips is giving thanks to his name. Now ask yourself this question. Are you truly thankful for the things that happen? Even in the bad times? How you say, well, Dan, how can I be thankful for a headache? How can I be thankful for health problems? How can I be thankful that this has happened? How can I be thankful that I lost a sibling or a parent or a grandparent? How can I be thankful? I don't have all those answers because everybody's individual, right? So I know in my life, when I've had hard times, this is, I get down on myself. How is this possible? God, why would you do this to me? How can I be thankful in that? When I do marriage counseling, and I think, man, there's a lot going on. I'm so thankful that God gave me a wife like he gave me. When I see children that maybe rebel or grow completely different, I'm so thankful that my kids are mama's boys and mama's girls. You know what I mean? And then when I'm driving to work in the morning, I'm thankful I have a heater in my car. We don't think about these little things because there are people who have to ride the bus to work and they stand out at a bus stop and they're freezing. Are you thankful you have a house to live in or do you complain about how much work a house is? Think about that. We have to give everything to him in a spirit of praise. So what's in it for you? That's the question. That's the question of the day. And listen, as I look, I've been there too. I think, well, man, I do and I do and I do and I do. And finally, I can't figure out why I'm doing this. I don't get any benefit from it. What's in it for me? A relationship with the Lord. If you have a relationship with the Lord, you have access to the cattle on 1,000 hills. You have access to salvation. You have access to heaven. You have access to a relationship with somebody you can talk to every day who's not going to slap you in the face or yell at you. That's not how God works. There's one story about a donkey that's so stubborn in the Bible, right? And God had to hit him with a 2x4, I think is what it was. I don't remember, but don't get like that. Think about it. We have a God who loves us. And not only a God who loves us, but did something you and I could never do. I could never give up my firstborn. You wouldn't either. But God did. He wants us to praise him. So how simple is it to praise him? Listening to all these words in these songs, and my kids hate this, but I'll listen to the Gaithers because I like the old hymns. And people, my friend Paul says, why do you listen to that? I said, because those words are so familiar to me. I enjoy that. You can get those words. The new praise songs, while they're beautiful, and I love to do them, I have to work to remember, because they're coming out with something new about every week, right? A new song. And they're really great. But these songs have never changed. You know? This old house. You know, those little songs, you know? Because he lives. You know what I mean? It's just something about it that's where I work. That's my zone. And I can forget about everything when I put on some music. So you got to change your circumstances. Let God change your circumstances, because worship can do that for you. Worship can change your circumstances. If you were to listen to worship on the way to work, you'll have a better day than if you were to listen to the K-Frog or whatever the country station is up here. Right? One friend told me that if you play country music backwards, you get your dog back, your truck back, and your woman back. When we used to talk about backmasking, did you ever hear that when you were a kid? Backmasking, they would play the music backwards and say satanic things on a record. We used to do that. When I was a kid, we burned so many albums. Okay. Anyways, that's beside the point. So you see where I'm going tonight? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to focus on you. And as we close this song, this worship, with another song, because that's on the schedule, I pray that we would just forget about the schedule and just worship in spirit and in truth. You are solid. You're always there, and you take care of us. You promise to take care of us, and we claim that promise tonight. We worship you, we worship you, and we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'd fill out a card and throw it in the offering, you can just hand it to me. I'll be